An amazing new frontline documentary has managed to break through the wall around ISIS. It tells the story of a secret underground network that uses cell phones to locate captured women and to document the unholy brutality they've endured. This young woman is named Aida. She was imprisoned in a warehouse for months.
I wish I could forget that building. We were around 35 girls and 3 women. I was only 21, but I was the oldest. They were coming and taking girls from this building. We had one guard who was forcing a 9-year-old girl. He was forcing her to go with him to the bathroom. I couldn't take it, and I had a fight with the guard. The guard said, "I will kill you." And I said, "I don't mind dying for her. Don't take the girl."
Edward Watts is the director and producer of the new Frontline film produced by our partner WGBH. It's called Escaping ISIS, and it airs on PBS tomorrow night. Watts found women enslaved, tortured, and brainwashed into doing the bidding of ISIS. He also found a network of brave fighters and rescuers like nothing he had ever seen before. And they showed him images and told stories that, we should warn you, are disturbing.
We had to rely really on an enormous group of very brave people inside who've dedicated their lives, who risk their lives on a daily basis to show the reality of what life is like inside ISIS. I mean, I think another problem that we all face to really show the truth is just this propaganda machine that ISIS put out, which we're all aware of, but which portray them as this sort of invincible army, as their, you know, their area is very well run, as people are being happy at their rule. And I think that what the activist footage and what we learn from the film, what I hope you learn from the film, is that that propaganda really is just that propaganda, and that the reality is very different on all counts. One of which, very importantly, I think, being that ISIS are not nearly as strong as they might like us to believe.
And this is conveyed through pictures that were taken by cell phone cameras, often, you know, upside down, you know, jerky pictures, but absolutely fascinating stuff. Explain how this cell phone network is kind of the lifeline.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really an extraordinary story. I think it's comparable with stories that we hear from the Second World War of the French resistance operating in occupied France, where you have this network inside ISIS territory that really, they depend on phones, in the sense of these mobile phones are the lifeline for people who are trapped inside ISIS or working inside their territory to communicate. And the phone is one of the most precious commodities there for these people who are held captive. So they often smuggle them out at the point of being caught, or they try and steal them from their ISIS captors. And once they get hold of these phones, the way that the process works in terms of the rescues is that they will call their families, and the families are aware of these guys that we were filming with who are doing everything they can to try and help people escape. And essentially that's how the whole process begins. It all begins with one phone call.
Well, it's absolutely amazing, and you never would imagine that a phone call or cell phones could be so riveting to watch. And let's meet some of the characters. Here's a woman by the name of Nadia.
Two of my friends electrocuted themselves. One hanged herself with her shawl. One woman slit her wrist. She went to the bathroom, and we saw the blood leaking from under the door. They said they would feed her to the dogs. That is the fate of anyone who kills themselves.
Now, that is testimony from Nadia, one of the captives of ISIS, who are in a form of sexual slavery. Can you describe Nadia a little bit for us?
Yes, she was a very young, highly intelligent woman. I mean, a lot of these women who were taken by ISIS, they are really young. She was, I think, about 18, and she'd been captured, you know, snatched from her family. They're held in these extraordinary conditions. She'd been held for over 100 days in the hands of ISIS, seen all these atrocities that you hear about. You just heard a little taste of the kind of things that she went through there. And she had managed to escape on her own, just through her own ingenuity, managed to get back to safety, and was now taking the next courageous decision to actually speak about what had happened, what she'd seen, and to tell the world, really, about what is actually happening for these girls inside.
And then there's Khalil al-Dakhi, who's a Yazidi man, a very brave lawyer, who's helping women to escape who can't make it on their own. Let's listen to him.
It can take a whole month to rescue one family or sometimes one person. It's very difficult. They're being raped and mistreated on a daily basis. They're calling, crying. They're asking us to rescue them, telling us they can't cope any longer. It's very painful. There's no one else they can ask for help because their family is either taken or killed.
Tell me about Khalil and just what he's managed to do here.
Well, he's an extraordinary individual. I mean, he's the head, really, of a small team of guys. There are probably about eight of them in total who are doing this work. And all of them come from different backgrounds. Khalil was a lawyer. I mean, he was dealing with things like relatively mundane civil law, like marriages, divorces, just very basic stuff. But when this attack happened, he began to apply his skills as a lawyer to trying to gather the testimony together of what had happened to the Yazidis during the attack on the Sinjar Mountain. And then, as some of the women and girls started to come back, he began to gather their testimony, a record of what they'd experienced. In the hope, initially, I think, he was hoping that it would provide evidence for a war crimes trial, which he still hopes to see, I think, of some of these ISIS guys. But, you know, through his own ingenuity, he really realized that the information that these women were bringing back actually gave you an extraordinary picture inside ISIS. It allowed you to really get a map of their territory and understanding of how they were deployed. And most importantly for him, where the women and girls were being held, which towns they were particularly being held in, even down to specific buildings where they were concentrated. And that information was obviously incredibly helpful for anyone who was trying to get them out. And that was how this whole process began. I mean, he himself describes it as a do-it-yourself operation. They'd really just done it off their own back, using their own wits to work out how you might be able to get these women out. And he's dedicated his life to doing that now. So he's really a hero for our times, I think.
Khalil is a Yazidi, and the Yazidis are one of the oppressed groups in ISIS territory, but they're by no means the only one. You could have told this story through the eyes of any of the groups that are taken captive by ISIS.
Yeah, you could. I mean, I think the Yazidis, what I hope the film does is it sort of shows you the two ends of the spectrum for women in particular who are living under ISIS. So at one end, you have the Yazidis who are, though ISIS have taken Christians, you're right, and they've imprisoned Shias, no one is quite regarded in the same way as almost subhuman in the way that ISIS regard the Yazidis. And it's that particular categorization that allows them to treat the women as sex slaves, as objects, you know, as chattels, basically. So you have, that is the extreme end of the experience. But then at the other end, which also you see in the program, is what it's like for Muslim women there. Because, I mean, that's a real thing that I think is often forgotten. There are an estimated 4 million Muslim women living in under the Islamic State. And prior to ISIS arriving, their version of Islam wasn't anything like as extreme as ISIS's version. They were educated, they were free to move around, and now those women have to abide by these incredibly harsh laws that ISIS have imposed. So I guess what we were trying to do is, by focusing on Muslim women and on the Yazidis, was to give you an understanding of the spectrum of experience, all of it very, very tough. And the scale of it is unique, I think, in modern times, of just this, the sheer cruelty that these guys are capable of. I've made 20 documentaries now about lots of horrendous things happening around the world, and I've never come across anything like it.
Edward Watts is director and producer of Frontline's Escaping ISIS. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.